talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Good thing I'm a fix-it man. That was bad deal there. Anyway, man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. After doing Trady Hole, I'm a nervous wreck about this show. Anyway, it was all good. Had a lot of fun. And anyway, today, coming up in the second segment, Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech is going to be on here. We're going to be talking about soil, wheat, and corn. It's going to be a great show today. Got any questions? If you're out there listening and you're not, you know how to text, you can text into 580-225-9697 with any questions to Kent or me or whoever, and we'll try to get them answered the best we can. We're live at 96.5 KECO, 100.1 KWFX out of Woodward. We're live on Facebook. We're live on our KECO FM webpage, and you can also be live if you're getting ready to be out of range and you still want to listen to the show. Go to your phone, go to your apps, download Paragon Communications. It's a free app, and you can listen to the show there anywhere in the world. I haven't asked my wife because I don't know. She said when she was down there in Central America, they had 3G, but I don't know if she got to listen to the show down there or were scared of the foreign country airtime, phone bill coming. But anyway, let's check out some temperatures. There's actually still some freezing weather, and it looks like most of it is in Dewey County, 31 degrees at Putnam, 32 at Camargo, 39 at Arnett, home of Lord Campbell, 44 at Alva, 45 at Hobart. The warmest spot in western Oklahoma right now is Mangum, Oklahoma at 49 degrees. Out here in the panhandle of Texas, 47 at Lipscomb, 45 at Miami, 48 at Dozier, and 48 at Wellington. And the big 5-0 down there at Odell, Texas, across the Red River Bridge south of Altus. All right, let's see what happened real quick overnight and see what's going on. Corn futures were lower in overnight trading amid favorable weather in Brazil as planting begins in southern states. Rains this week were near expectations as precipitation fell in several Brazilian states, including Mato Grosso and Paola and some other ones. Oh, Ken's over there smiling. He knows I got that right. Said Don Kinley, an agriculture meteorologist with Maxar. Showers will continue this week, giving the second corn crop a boost. Let's see what else is going on. Planters are rolling in Texas with 46% of the state's crop in the ground as of Sunday, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. That's down from 49% at the same point last year, but up from the prior five-year average of 43%. And I'm going to take a wild guess. Probably one of the main reasons, the ground's still too cold. 4% of the corn crop in Arkansas were planted at the start of the week, up from 2% a year earlier, and the average of 2% for this time of year. Corn futures fell a nickel to 427.5 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soybean futures for May delivery lost 5.75 to 11.93 a bushel. Soy meal dropped 50 cents to $339.30 a short ton, and soy oil fell 0.62 cents to 47.8 cents a pound. Wheat futures for May delivery were down 3.5 cents to 5.40 a bushel. In Kansas City, futures dropped 4.5 to 572.75 a bushel. According to this, in successful farming, the collapse of the Francis Key Scott Bridge near the port of Baltimore likely will have a negative effect on the U.S. economy, but the cost of trucking might increase, according to Oxford Economics. and said in a note to clients, the port handled a record 52.3 million tons of foreign cargo valued at $80 billion last year, according to the data from the governor's office. It's unclear at this point how long it will take the waterways near the bridge wreckage to open. Ultimately, the duration of the disruptions of the Port of Baltimore, along with how quickly trade can be rerouted, will be determined the economic cost, according to Oxford. The ports of Virginia and New York, New Jersey handle more cargo than usual in 22, which may bode well for rerouting of vessels originally bound for Baltimore. Trucking costs, however, may increase to an average of about 4,000 trucks cross that bridge every day. Isn't that crazy? According to the American Trucking Association, detours will increase delivery times and fuel costs, the report said. We don't expect the increase in transportation costs and disruptions will be widespread or large enough to lift either headline or core consumer prices. It's been all over the news and social media about that. Matter of fact, the Cotton King down there at Farm 101 in Wichita County, he said he's been across that bridge before, which I don't know if you guys care or not, but he did tell me that he had been. Freeze warnings have been issued for parts of several states in the middle of the United States, much of Missouri, parts of Kansas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, all at risk of the freezing weather. Temperatures in central Missouri were expected to fall to around 27 degrees overnight. The freeze warning will remain in effect till this afternoon. Snow showers will be are visible everywhere, according to the National Weather Service. Matter of fact, it was snowing north of Elk City this morning. And one of my friends texted me from Weatherford. It was coming down pretty good, and they got quite a bit of snow towards Oklahoma City. So there you have it. Anyway, let's do a quick up-to-the-date market report before we go to break and get to talking with Kent here. May 24th of corn, 428, down 4. July corn, 440, down 4.5. Soybeans for May, 1193, down 5.25. July, 1207, down 5. Soybean meal, 339.90, unchanged basically. Soybean oil for May, 47.66, down 76. Hard red winter wheat, up 2 for May at 579. And July is 574, up a half a penny. Cotton in the red today, quite a bit actually. May 90.97, down 2.25. July is 91.60, down 2.25. What we got here? Oil 81.10, down 52 cents. And natural gas is down. It made a big surge yesterday, but it's coming back down. May is 172, down 6. Live cattle, April 182.62, down 47. June is 177.60, down 77. Feeder cattle for March, 247.85, up 12. April is 245.60, up 15. Lean hogs for April, 86.15, up 57. May is 92.17, up 42. I got to tell you about one of my adventures yesterday. So this place that I rented has a side row on it, and I've been rebuilding and everything, putting new gaskets, mushrooms, all that good stuff in it. I finally got her fired up yesterday, and man, 7 blowouts later and a couple sprinkler heads, I got her rolling. It's a good thing. Our ground, especially in the sand, is getting really dry. But anyway, just to let you know, my side row's running. I only have a small leak, which I'm looking for a piece of pipe to fix that one. And thank you, Jennings Welding, for fixing my T, my 6-inch T on there, because I couldn't find one. And anyway, anybody know where you can buy used irrigation parts in this part of the state from side rows and stuff like that? If you do, text in, let me know. I need some extra parts. So anyway, I'd appreciate it. All right, let's take a Taylor Ranch happy hour break. It is Taylor Ranch happy hour all hour today, and I'll have more on the Taylor Ranch coming up with you shortly right after this conversation.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We'll be right back. Hey, Ken Russ here at Hobart Stockyards. We are having a registered Black Angus bull sale March 30th here at Hobart Stockyards. These bulls will be semen tested and ready to go, selling 20 2-year-olds and 15 3-year-olds. They are out of proven stock, low birth weight and high weaning weight. Go to our Facebook page, Hobart Stockyards, where you can see the videos of these bulls. Sale is March the 30th at Hobart Stockyards. Sale starts at 12 noon, and we'll see you there.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma has dedicated their life to supporting your farm's success because farming is their way of life. Their superior high-pro feeds are expertly formulated to meet the nutritional needs of your livestock. They provide bulk feed delivery straight to your farm, or for smaller quantities, they offer a variety of feed bags and sacks in different sizes. When it comes to your livestock feed, choose excellence. Choose Hobart Farm and Garden.
April 1st through the 13th, we have our filter sales event going on. You save up to 40% on all Napa Gold filters. We will be doing our tool sale also April 1st through April 6th. We're offering 10% off of all Carlisle tools, 5% off of lifts, 5% off of compressors, Milwaukee tools on sale, toolboxes, tool sets. We're also going to have some giveaways on the 5th is our customer appreciation launch.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
They want you to see them as people and not just a number. They love when you know their name when they walk in the door and greet them with a smile. They'd love that. I like to hear people's stories and find out about their lives and get to know them. We sponsor in the community a lot, in the communities and the surrounding communities. We just really care about people. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Blair Tire and Feed is helping you save some money. Firestone Ag is holding its Spring Into Savings event. That means you're going to save big money on the tires you need. Most Firestone radial tires are included in the sale, like their expanded line of 82 technology patterns and sizes. Eligible standard radial tires will have a $200 discount. Eligible 82 radial tires will have a $300 discount. That's big time savings on big time tires during a big time event. The Firestone Ag Spring Into Savings event at Blair Tire and Feed.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back from the Taylor Ranch break. Currently here at the Gabe Gadget Mesonet Center, we are 39 degrees, the wind's out of the east at 4 miles an hour, 71% humidity, Odell, Texas. Here's your Texas Ag Weather Update. 51 degrees, humidity's 52, dew point's 34, the winds are out of the east at 11, peak wind gust today, 22 miles an hour, month-to-date precipitation, 1.47 inches, no red flag or sub-freezing minutes. 8-inch soil temperature, 55 degrees. Well, speaking of soil, soil temperature, soil health, Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech right here in Elk City is in the studio with me today. It's been a while.
It's been a while. I looked back at my notes, and it was December, early December.
I know. You've been on a vacation.
I figured you'd probably just...
I won't tell him you forgot both January and February. No, I'm just kidding. No, he didn't. I'm just kidding. He's a little older than me by a year or two, but my memory's worse than his. But anyway, so, man, this is the start of farming season as far as I'm concerned.
Yep, it's fast approaching.
Yes.
Sure is.
Yeah, and we got some areas, we got plenty of subsoil moisture, unlike what the last 2 years, but the, some areas like down south towards Granite, Mangum, down towards Altus, and then they've been getting some nice rain showers, and we got one here a couple weeks ago, but it didn't last long because we were dry. But anyway, and then up north they've been getting some showers, but anyway, you drive into one county, the wheat looks great. Drive into the next county, you see those dark spots where the cattle urinated, yep. And then the rest of it's pretty light green. So it's just, it ain't much we can do, but man, soil health is everything.
Soil health is everything, and I think more and more people are realizing that. And so let's start with that right off the bat.
Okay.
With the five pillars, that's where I always start, and I'm sure people get tired of hearing it.
No, I know.
Saying it. For us, number one in my book is armor on the soil. Keep it covered up. If you don't cover it up, Mother Nature will, because she's a prude. She doesn't want to be uncovered.
Right.
And she'll cover it up with thistles and sand burrs and stuff like that if you don't. Low disturbance would be two, so that means I'm not going to say no tillage, but keep the tillage to a minimum.
Okay.
Because you're blowing off carbon, which is organic matter, which is water holding capacity. So you're blowing that to the atmosphere every time you do that. And then diversity in plant type, the more the better. And if, like I tell people, if you're a cotton farmer, you want cotton out there, but in the off season, which would be the winter, there's opportunities to get more stuff in there and do it that way. And then a living root in the soil as many days out of the year as possible, because the microbes are probably the most important thing that we have to make everything turn, because commercial fertilizer doesn't get plant available until it goes through the microbes, so you got to have them. And then where it fits, livestock. If you have water and fence and all that, livestock helps speed the process up. Now, it doesn't mean graze it into the ground.
Right.
But where you can graze it, I would.
Graze it a little bit, pull off, graze it a little more,
right.
And keep it going. So there, anyway, there's I've switched my program up, as you well know, in the last 5 years, and it's starting to show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you seen that soil sample?
Yeah.
That I see, it was on my garden, okay? Yep. I know it was just my garden, but
it's
that's part
of the field.
It was in the field, in my rye field, and guess what I need for my garden?
Nothing.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got extra nitrogen, I got extra P and K out there. My soil health was pretty good, and it has room for improvement. But so anyway,
but the soil respiration number was a lot better, was about double what it has been.
Right.
So that shows. Tells me right off the bat that you're starting to, if you have some good soil respiration, the microbes are in abundance,
right,
and are doing some work.
Yeah, and they are. And that's the best looking field. Like, that's the first field I started working on besides the corner up there where I have irrigation. And I learned a hard lesson.
What's that?
Last year, if you remember, where I put the five sorghums and the iron and clay peas. I learned a lesson.
What?
You know, I had it. You know, I had it in such good health that I didn't think about putting too much nitrogen in the ground with the iron and clay and peas, and it kind of made things in the hay a little hot.
A little hot.
But you know what? I had to eat about 50 bales of hay, but the ground is in such good shape. Mm-hmm. It's not even funny.
Yeah, there you go.
So. I just learned a valuable lesson. That's all I can tell you. Anyway, so what's said? But I got to donate the hay to the wildfires because there was a guy up there who had a grinder.
Well,
so
work.
I felt better about it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway, maybe it was the writing on the wall. Maybe it was meant to be.
Maybe so.
Well, we got wheat, rye, triticale, everything going. Well, anything farmers need to do right now?
Well, so there's. In comparison to yesteryear, there's not a lot of wheat cut anymore out here. But if you are cutting wheat, rye, triticale, any of those small grains, the yield at this point for us out here has already been determined.
Right.
you're not going to improve it by adding fertilizer now. It won't. It's just, it's a waste of money for that crop.
For harvesting.
Yes. For going to grain.
Right.
Okay. So the only thing left to do, and that would be a flag leaf at flag leaf, which is for most fields are going to be coming up in 2 to 3 weeks.
Right.
Would be if you want to protect the yield that you have there, it will not increase the yield, but you could run a cheap shot of fungicide over the top to protect that flag leaf from leaf rust. And I fully expect a huge, huge pressure on leaf rust this year.
Why is that?
We're already seeing it starts in the Gulf Coast and comes up on the wind. They're already seeing it in North Texas already.
Okay.
And it's just going to keep coming north with the southerly winds. If we have any conducive weather, it'll just keep coming up as those spores on those leaves down there mature, rupture, get in the wind, keep coming north. So if you want to protect the yield that you have on any of those, a real cheap shot of fungicide would be the way to go.
Yeah, fungicide is not expensive at all.
No, and they're really efficient now. They've done a lot of work with fungicides over the last 40 years. You know, the very first fungicides we knew about here was one called Tilt. Everybody kind of still remembers it. But and back in the day, it was very expensive. It would cost you $40 an acre. You can do a tebuconazole shot now, $2. Of course, your application, whether you have somebody do that for you or you do it yourself, but the chemical itself, you can do it for $2. And it'll protect you about 10 days. There's others you can use. If you're going for high yield wheat, I've got a couple of guys doing that. They're going for high yield wheat. We're not going to pin all our hopes and dreams on a tebuconazole shot. We're going to go with something that'll hold out 21 to 28 days.
So there's way different fungicides you can do because if you apply the cheaper stuff on it for 10 days, do you do it again?
Most people never did. What their thought was, and for you peanut guys, you know what tebuconazole was. That was the old Folicure in the peanut days. But most guys never ran a second shot. It was a lot more expensive then, but it's generic now, and it's a little more expensive than drinking water, really.
Right.
It's not much, but you're not getting a lot of protection out there. But what their thought process on small grains was, if I can hold it out for 7 to 10 days, that gives the grain time to fill, and that's all you're trying to do is protect the flag leaf so it can fill the grain. If I had a really good crop of grain out there, I would not use tebuconazole. I would use a better one that has two modes of action and protect it for 21 to 28 days, and you're good.
What's those modes of action, the two ways you're talking about?
I knew he was going to ask that, and I can't I can't remember. They're $9 words.
Well, I'm used to seven and a half.
One's a strobe.
Right.
And I can't remember what the other one is. But they've improved them a lot. And they've gone on now to where they've really got really brand new fungicides that are just smoking good. But if you are into soil health, remember this. Don't get carried away with those fungicides. Use them judiciously because they will kill your microbes in your soil profile. They will kill them. So don't use them loosely. Just use them when you need them.
Right.
And leave it at that.
Right. I sent you that picture yesterday. I seen Russell Hedrick put on Facebook. He was, if you guys remember, Russell came on my show last year. He had the record corn crop.
Crop
454 or something?
454 an acre.
Yeah, and North Carolina. One of the Carolinas.
North Carolina.
Anyway, he posted on Facebook that him and his dad was out plowing the ground and tilling and doing all this stuff. Well, it was an April Fool's joke a couple of hours early. Because this guy, he's got it going on.
He's a first-generation farmer, so he didn't pick up any bad habits. He didn't know.
Right.
So he started in with Archuleta and Gabe Brown and those guys, yeah, and got into that deal and went from that to where he is now. And he's won that yield contest on corn 2 years, not in a row, but I think he skipped 1 year. And it's not like, you know, he picks out a half acre. You cut 1 acre, but he told me that field is a 40-acre field. And he said you could have picked an acre out of any of the 40 acres and it was going to yield the same.
Right.
He's just really good at what he does.
Right. Pays attention. He's smart.
He absolutely knows.
And him and Liz Haney,
yeah,
are big buds,
yep,
of the Haney test, the, yep, soil regen testing. And so anyway, he's got it going on, and he mixes some stuff in buckets, yep, in his shop that probably scare most people, but it's hard work.
Absolutely.
But look like it's paying off.
Well, and he pulls petiole samples, leaf samples every week and sends them in, sees where he's at and what he needs, and he does all that. He's not one of these that he won't tell you that he doesn't use fertilizer. He does use fertilizer, but it's judiciously. He doesn't use near the fertilizer that corn growers really use,
right,
out there in the commercial setting.
Right.
And he's really good at what he does.
Well, speaking of growing corn, that's next on our conversation. So we're going to take, before we take that break, let's talk a little bit about Taylor Ranch. You know them very well.
I've heard of them.
Heard of them. All cattle are not the same. Just like people, our genetics determine our traits. Some people are tall, some short, some have blonde hair, and so on. It's the same in cattle. Cattle are not the same genetically, especially when it comes down to making a good steak. Some cattle just make better steaks than others because they have the right genetics. Taylor Ranch has been working on their carcass genetics for over 17 years to develop animals that excel in both flavor and tenderness to give you that mouth-watering best steak in your life eating experience. They develop every animal as if it were going to be served on their own table. That's Taylor Ranch, selling quarters, halves, or whole beef. Third-party verified, all-natural, and hormone-free. Also available. Call Mr. Jimmy Taylor at 405-609-4662. 405-609-4662. Let's take a Taylor Ranch break. When we come back, we're going to talk about corn. Be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call 806-665-06.
SCI Agritech is excited to announce they're now open with their new LNC blending feed facility for their new product line at SCI Agritech 1400 South Randall in Elk City, with all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust. The new facility is the only LNC blending facility in the area. SCI Agritech in Elk City now open their new facility in their current location, 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
Come out to the little town on the prairie, Canadian, Texas, and attend the 2024 Hip Hill County, Texas A&M AgriLife Beef Cattle Conference Tuesday and Wednesday, April 23rd and 4th. It's going to be a power-packed beef cattle conference with some of the best speakers talking about some of the most critical issues of the beef cattle business, our markets, our climate, our genomic, ranching for profit. Also, we're going to have a great time socializing.
The best
get your
advice
tickets
that
today.
I can give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And, well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Are you looking to give your livestock the best nutrition possible? Well, head on over to the Sarah Farmers Co-op. Sarah Co-op is an authorized quality liquid feeds dealer. They handle a variety of QLF Ignite protein and mineral tubs, along with their Pasture Select 20-5 and 35-5 liquid feed. Short on time, the Sarah Co-op will supply, deliver, and fill your liquid feed tank for you so that you don't have to. Don't put it off. Head on over to the Sarah Co-op at 109 South 6th Street in Sarah, or give them a call at 928-2664.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Questions are coming in, Kent. Anyway, we'll get to them here shortly.
Okay.
I got a couple of them already. All right, here we go. Here is your Northwestern Oklahoma Ag weather update. I picked the big city at Putnam, home of B&L Red Angus. 32 degrees, feels like 28, dew point's 30, humidity's 94. Percent. The wind is east-southeast, 4 miles an hour, 24-hour rain total, 11 one-hundredths of an inch. They got a shower this morning, and 10-day rain total, 1.16 inches of rain. Nice job. 3-day average for 4-inch bare soil temperature, 48 degrees. 1-day average, 10-inch fractional water, 0.8. Sunset, 7:53. Forecast for Putnam, 60% chance of rain showers today, 47 for a high, tonight 28. Cover them tomato plants again, and tomorrow 64 and sunny with south-southwest winds, 7 to 15 miles an hour. So anyway, well, Kent, let's ask this question. Let me ask you this question before we get into corn. What would be a good cover mix to plant after sesame in November for another summer crop of millet for seed?
Wheat, rye, triticale mix.
Yep.
And get hairy vetch and Austrian winter peas in with it. I mean, that's easy. And then next spring, whenever you get ready to kill it, just give yourself enough time that you can spray what you need to spray to be able to kill everything. And just a note on hairy vetch, you will not kill it with Roundup by itself. You will turbocharge it with Roundup by itself. So if you put hairy vetch in there, it's easily controlled, but you need a hormone type like 2,4-D or dicamba.
Okay.
And then watch your layout time before you go back to plant.
Planting millet. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's a pretty good answer, because, you know, does your Australian winter peas do the same as like the peas during the cow peas do during the summer? They're putting nitrogen in your ground.
They're a legume, so they're going to fix nitrogen now. In our winters, sometimes they'll freeze out if we have a dry winter or cold, and sometimes they'll just burn off the top of the ground in the winter, and then they'll come roaring back whenever it warms up a little bit in the spring. It's a little bit of a Russian roulette deal there,
right,
on the Austria winter peas, but the vetch will come back.
I got you. Well, the winter peas, not that you're worried about it. I mean, he's growing millet, but he's growing millet for seed. So he don't have to worry about whether that millet's hot or not, does he?
No.
So it don't matter.
No.
Maybe that's what I ought to do.
Yeah, you do. Need, you do that.
You need.
That's a different game.
I don't even like growing millet much, let look at it, but that's me. Anyway, I had a millet bale kill a cow one day, so I've hated millet ever since, even though I grow it for quail. I'm not going to lie. So anyway, all right, it's corn season. It's fixing to be corn planting season. You just heard me rattle that temperature off at Putnam. That's not that far from here, and the ground temperature is 48 degrees. That's 4 inch.
Yeah, it's too cold to plant corn. I know there's a lot of corn been planted already in the state. Early, first off, everybody knows corn is a warm season grass. Planting early here is a thing you really need to do, especially in a dryland situation, to catch those spring rains. But anything planted in March is going to be Russian roulette, whether you get frosted on. And yes, it will come back if the growing point, which is always in the fifth collar of that plant, if that growing point doesn't get froze on. But every time you burn it off with a frost, it gets a little weaker and a little weaker and a little weaker. And so I try to caution my growers, the people who buy seed from me, not to plant in March, but whatever. I tell them the downfalls and the pitfalls of doing so, and it's their farm and their dollar. They can do what they choose to do.
Right.
We have really good technology in corn now. The two companies that I sell for, Advanta and Golden Harvest, they have really good technology for earworm control, rootworm control, and also they both have what in the industry is called artesian technology. That is for a dry land crop or a very limited irrigation, and that plant will defend itself against drought for a while. It's not bulletproof, but for a little while it will defend itself. And how you see that being expressed is those leaves roll up when it gets really hot with no water. They roll up and hold the moisture inside the leaf a lot sooner than a non-artesian variety of any brand, I don't care what brand it is, will do. So they're built for dry land and limited water. Like I say, we are dealers for Golden Harvest and Advanta both. They both have that technology. Right now, for dry land acres, Golden Harvest is putting on a special, and it's basically buy three bags, get one free, and it's a true deal. So
that, 25% off?
You're going to wind up at under $210 a bag for all the bells and whistles in that bag. And they also have, both companies have 0% financing through December. There's a little bit of a credit application that you have to fill out, but it doesn't really amount to a lot. And they will bill you in November, and it's due in December. So that gives guys plenty of time to get their crop out and get it sold or whatever they need to do to be able to pay that seed bill.
Right. 'Cause
seed bill, I don't care what you're doing these days, seed bill is it's a big part of it.
Yeah, it's a huge part of it. I'm finding that out with peanuts.
Yeah, peanuts, yeah, well, absolutely.
So let's back up a little bit, and what kind of preparations can be going on right now? Because you still got 2 to 3, 4 weeks of corn planting.
Yeah, season. So the window for planting corn, and I talked to Kathy Fowler about this over the weekend, the window for insurance is March 15th through April 15th in our area. I would take the early part of that and do the soil samples, see what you need, address those issues, and then I would not take a planter to the field until after April 1st. And unless you have a lot of acres that you just have to get over, I probably wouldn't do it till the 5th or 7th of April.
What's your ideal ground temperature?
Oh, you really, the corn will sprout at 55 degrees. The problem with that is at 55 degrees in that range, not all of the soil is 55 degrees. Some of it could still be 52, 47, you know. And I'm talking 2-inch soil depth. So what happens whenever you plant in those kind of conditions, the corn will come up uneven. Some of it will come up 3 to 5 to maybe 7 days late than the rest of the stand in that row. And those plants that come up late are really and truly nothing more than weeds, because they won't pollinate correctly, but they're still going to rob moisture and they're still going to rob nutrition from the other plants. They may or may not even put an ear on, but they are robbing you every day they're out there. That's why I caution guys to pick a variety that you can, if it's early spring planting, April planting, pick a variety that will tassel before the heat gets on from late June, mid-June into July. You don't want to tassel at that point. So you would pick, you know, a 95 to 108 day variety, and there's several, but you would pick one of those varieties in there so that you can tassel. Let's assume that you planted April 10th. So it's going to tassel
June 10th.
Yeah, a little bit before June 10th. It should tassel about 55 days.
Yeah.
So about June 5th.
Somewhere in May, latter part of May.
Yeah. So typical years we won't have the real heat on till then, before then. And if we do, it's going to be a wreck anyway. But pick a variety that fits that window. And then if you're going to late corn, and that would typically be an irrigated corn, and typically for silage, that would plant, as a rule of thumb, July 4th.
Right.
Now, you may want to plant at the very end of June to be able to, and that those varieties are typically going to silage for the silage pit. So you would want to plant then so that you would have time for it to get to a mature enough state to silage, but not go try to go all the way to grain, because those are typically in our area are going to be 117 to 120 day crop.
Yeah, because if you plant too early in June for your late,
you'll tassel directly.
You'll tassel in August.
Yes, you'll tassel in August, and it'll be a bad deal for you.
Yeah, and for the moratorium. All right, let's stop right there and take a Taylor Wrench break. When I come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag weather update for somebody down here in the southwestern Oklahoma, and we'll finish up with questions and talking about corn. And we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
H2O Bait, Tackle, and More is passionate about helping you get the most out of your fishing experiences. Whether you're chasing trophy bass or simply spending a relaxing day on the water, they have an abundant selection of rods, reels, hooks, and lures, all from the top brands in the industry. While you're there, they'll hook you up with the right equipment for whatever type of fish you are trying to catch. So come see for yourself the biggest selection of fishing gear and accessories in Western Oklahoma at H2O Bait, Tackle, and More on Pioneer Road in Elk City.
You screamed with delight when the rides began. You can still smell the funnel cake and the caramel apples, and you'd never seen so many lights in one place. Now your kids and grandkids can experience the same thing, because the carnival's back on the west side of Elk City. Save big and keep riding with unlimited ride wristbands. Just $30 Thursday from 6 to 10 p.m. and Friday night 6 till 11. And it's Kids Day Saturday from noon till 4, only $25 for the kids. Wristbands are $30 Saturday evening from 6 to 11. And for a special Easter treat, they're just $20 Sunday from noon till 5. You remember winning prizes as a kid. You remember the sounds of the games. You remember the taste of the fresh squeezed lemonade and cherry limeade. You remember laughing and not wanting it to end. Now, help your kids and grandkids make some great memories of their own. The carnival's back in town through Sunday, just south of the Fiveplex on the west side of Elk City.
My father and his business partner was wanting to start a service company out here. They asked me two or three times to join them and come out and get started, and wanted nothing to do with the oil field. My grandparents are somebody I've always looked up to, and I called them, asked them their opinion, and they just said sometimes you have opportunities that you may not ever get, and they thought it was a good idea to look into it a little deeper, and I did. We actually had a disposal, Highway 6 and 283, 3 miles west of there, at a disposal site, which is close to Sayre. Look over our disposal, there's a huge canyon, and we actually was having a conversation out there, and a coyote came across, and we both came up with the idea of canyon, and then the coyote, we came up with the logo. We started out with strictly transport water hauling. Brought three trucks out. Basically, I was learning the ropes on the water side of it. My grandpa came out and stayed for 2 weeks. He worked for Hammond Phillips, retired with Hammond Phillips, and taught me what he knew and gave me his advice. And as things moved on and progressed, we started adding to it. I'm Michael Sloan with Canyon Oilfield Services, where the key word is service.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, March 22nd. 1,267 head were sold. 10 head of steers at $396 brought $410. 5 at $402 brought $367.50. 4 at $453 brought $345. 3 at $517 brought $290. 31 at $563 brought $349. 28 at $768 brought $259. 94 at $818 brought $245. 5 head of heifers at $377. 7 brought 322, 4 at 436 brought 304, 6 at 480 brought 290, 4 at 514 brought 278, 3 at 585 brought 258, 19 at 779 brought 229, butcher cows were 85 to 152, butcher bulls brought 20 to 163, bred cows were 1200 to 3000, pairs brought 1800 to 3075, Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma, sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for El Dorado, Oklahoma. Did I say that right? They got a new mezzanet center down there. I ran a wire down from the Hollis one. Now we can figure out what's going on even further south of Hollis. 51 degrees. Feels, I was kidding for you people down there. Don't go say, Jimmy got a wire run down there. Don't do it. Anyway, 51 degrees. Feels like 51. Dew point's 33. Humidity's 50. The winds are out of the east at 18 miles an hour. 10-day rain total, 41 hundredths of an inch. 3-day average 4-inch bare. Soil temperature, 54. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.9. Sunset at 7:56, 55, partly sunny today. Tonight, 30. Tomorrow, 68. Looks like a pretty good weekend for Easter coming up. All right, Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech is in the studio with me right now. We've been talking the five soil rules, as far as I'm concerned, and been talking a little bit about fungicide on your wheat, rye, and Truticale. And then we got into corn. Well, anyway, most people that grow corn around here pretty well know how to grow corn. Mm-hmm. So they know what's going on. It's their call. All right. Summer forages are coming up.
Yep. Summer forages. And a month ago, I would have said that probably not going to be a lot of need for it this year for hay. I've changed my mind. I think there's going to be a big need for it in a big area. We've had to feed longer than most anticipated, but anyway, that is what it is.
And a lot of people gave up a lot of hay for the wildfire.
Yeah,
because that was a big wildfire. And by the way, thank you for donating 8 super totes of feed over at Canadian. We appreciate that.
Anything we can do to help. I mean, that's just a drop in a bucket compared to what they need.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, on the forage sorghums and BMRs, hay grazers, don't plant them in April. It's way too cold. They'll lay there in the soil and rot. I've already done those experiments. I did them 10 years ago. I took a drill and I had my mix, and I made a pass the first week of April, second, third, fourth week of April, and then the first week of May, and then I planted the field the second week of May. Everything planted in April had to be replanted because all the grasses, it was too cold. I knew it would be, but I wanted to see. They rotted in the soil, so had to be replanted. If you're going to plant hay grazer or for pasture, either one, for hay, May, June, and July would be the months to plant. Do very little or no fertility work. Let them pick up whatever residue you have off, let's say, a wheat crop that you hayed off or maybe went to grain with, or what. Just be very careful about additional nitrogen. And the more types of grasses you can get into that mix, the better off you will be. So we typically run a 4 or 5-way grass mix and then put 1 or 2 legumes in, cowpeas, sun hemp, those kinds of things. If you are planting for sorghum silage, that would be planted on a 30-inch row typically. You can do that irrigated or dry land. We have varieties that'll fit both. And you can get some pretty good tonnage, even dry land, you can get some pretty good tonnage. So you would want to plant those in first, second week of May and have them chopped by the time they're 60 days old, which will get you towards the tail end of June or very early July. We've had very good success out here. Even in the last couple of years, we've had good success with that out here.
Right. So, what about Milo?
This isn't Milo country. I hate to tell people that, but it's just not. Right. I can remember everybody used to have 20 or 40 acres of Milo.
Yeah. That's when quail was good.
That's right. But that's just not the case anymore. And the Milo varieties have changed enough. The real reason Milo, I have seen fields that I would have bet your paycheck, Jimmy, that
not
it
much.
Would have made 90 to 100 bushel because it looked really good over the years. I've just seen those kind of fields. And whenever you stick a combine header in the field, it turns into 45 or 50 bushels. Nothing happened to it. It's just not there in weight, and it's just not there in quality. And I don't care what seed you're talking about, whose seed, doesn't matter. Milo is Milo. They haven't done a huge amount of work with it yet. They will, but they haven't yet. But the real reason it just doesn't fit us is because we just don't cool off enough at night to
kinda like soybeans.
To make that work. Yeah, we're just too arid all the time. You know, because whenever you're growing Milo, it's hot, you know. So Milo plant needs to cool off at night. It typically doesn't that time of year for us. This just isn't Milo country.
Yeah, I didn't get into an argument. I was in a conversation with a guy here last year about Milo, because I'd love to grow Milo. Mm. And I grew some last year, mm-hmm. and it looked really good, mm-hmm. right up to the deer found it.
Yeah.
And thing of it is the guy says, well, I've growed 75, 80, 90 bushel Milo. And he said, I've growed some 20 and 30 bushel Milo too.
Yep.
Okay, so I quizzing him into farther, just being nosy, just being Jimmy. Anyway, I quizzed him. How many years out of 10 will you make 75 to 90 bushel Milo? He said 1 to 2. I said, does that pan out the other 8 years? Because we're all can roll the dice and get that one good year.
Right.
We all can do that no matter what we're planning. And I guess that's why they call it farming. But anyway, it's just one of those deals, you know.
Well, this isn't Milo country. If you're going to grow a crop like that you're going to cut a grain crop off of, you'd be much better off to plant corn, because we have the varieties that fit that now.
Right.
And, you know, we're going to just increase those varieties as we go forward. And another note on corn, this is mainly for irrigated corn, but Syngenta has, some people have heard of Inogen corn seed. That is, Syngenta and Golden Harvest has taken the corn varieties that they have, and they have gotten a trait to be expressed that makes that actual corn, whether it's in silage, you put it in silage, or you grow it for high moisture grain or earlage or all the way to dry grain, it makes that starch 5 to 7% more efficient. And that doesn't sound like a lot, but it is. In a grow yard situation or a feedlot situation, 5 to 7% is huge on efficiencies. I had a meeting with their top Tech yesterday about this very thing, and we're going to grow some over at Hydro. We have it available only this year in test bags. They know what it'll do, but it's got to be out on the farmer so they can see it. Next year it will be commercially available. The only real hiccup in this thing, in the Inogen thing for us, is you cannot take it to an elevator. It has to be fed. So you can sell, like I could grow it, sell it if I don't have cattle or animals, ruminants. I can sell it to you, Jimmy, and you can feed it. It just cannot go to the elevator. And there are marker kernels in that makes it obvious to the elevator operator that you can't take it.
I got you. Well, Kent, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you to buy some corn seed.
We're at SEI Agritech. We're at 1400 South Randall, Elk City, Oklahoma.
All right. Thanks for coming in today, sir. Appreciate it. Enjoy having you in here every month. And anyway, we'll see you next month. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Brought to you by First National Bank and Trust, Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. God bless.